Or like a huge mentor the size of this building.
God. Mentor the size of the building.
In your mind, the World Trade Centers could have been taken down by
Mentors.
Bin Laden and a lot of
Al Qaeda were in fact like year six science teachers. So they had access to this stuff.
Let's get going, boy. Here we go. So, hello and welcome back to Can Explains. This is episode 8. I'm joined by Dan.
Hello.
Dan.
Hello.
And Adam.
I told you what it is. Sorry, carry on.
Okay. First of all, I want to open with something just a little bit interesting. Because last week, we discussed legacy. So, this week, I would like to ask you one quick question. That is, would you rather be able to die, as you currently do, or be immortal? Well, you can probably be killed, I guess.
Depends on the stipulations. So, for example, when the universe is ending, am I allowed to top myself?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, then I'll take immortality.
Do I age?
I think you just like age slower, maybe.
For like non-physical, spiritual being.
Mortal is live forever, isn't it?
Immortal, live forever. No, I don't think I want to live forever. Because you have to watch everyone die and go through the fuss of like making new friends again. To do that.
For fuck's sake, new friends. I mean, and Adam, which would you choose? Would you rather be able to die at a normal age or be immortal and then die potentially millions of years down the line?
It'd be amazing if you had like a million more lives.
Like, you have one life, but it goes on for a really long time if you wanted to.
To be honest, I'd rather be mortal.
Okay, cool. Because to Dan's point about being immortal, Dan P, that is, it is said that if you were to live for, you know, thousands of years, your perception of time would also kind of go with that. So, let's say you're in a relationship with someone for 40 years. By the time you get to like 1,000, that's like a summer fling.
Can I just add a bit more to that?
That's how potentially
like 40,
sad could that be?
That's like four lots of 40 marriages or something.
Yeah.
Because you said you'll be with that kind of special person for 40 years.
And you think you only get married for 10 years. All right, so immortality, you're going to die, you're going to die.
I said mortal.
That's the same thing.
Oh. Yeah, I know, but you live for a very long time. They just, like, die of normal age.
You live for about 87 years.
Okay, moving on from the subject of immortality to things that have, in a way, become immortal. The seven wonders of the world. So, as we all may well know, but just to remind you, the classic seven wonders of the world are the Colossus of Rhodes, the Great Pyramid of Giza, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Lighthouse of Alexandria, the Mausoleum at Halicarnassus, Statue of Zeus at Olympia, and the Temple of Artemis at Ephesus. So, my question to you boys is, now that basically none of those exist anymore, because time is a real thing, it turns out, which would you love to have been able to visit?
I'm straight torn between the Hanging Gardens and the Colossus. Just imagine the Hanging Gardens is in, remember, it's in Babylon, so it's in the middle of the desert. Everything's kind of beige, khaki, dusty, and then you just get this little oasis out of nowhere. You get this lavish palace with all the exotic flowers you could possibly think of. All the it must have just been incredible to see that kind of thing.
I agree. And Dan?
Pyramids.
Damn it!
Easily.
You still can, luckily.
True.
Not in the way they were, though.
I was going to say that.
Like, true, I think one's got like a KFC under it now or something.
That sounds so perfect.
There is, yeah.
I was going to say the pyramids, I was.
You can still
say
that.
But maybe I should say something else.
You can do that as well.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably choose probably the Statue of Zeus at Olympia, because you imagine that was built at a time when they're like, Yeah, Zeus exists. Like this, it was so real to them. Whereas, like statues of like religious figures, we take with a grain of salt.
Well,
like,
the statue of Lincoln at the Reflection Pool is based on the statue of Zeus there.
Exactly that. So it's a little bit mythological, but also people thought it was real. It's kind of so. Adam, which wonder of the world would you love to visit?
The Colosseum.
That's actually not one of the ancient ones. That's one of the
modern ones.
I'd go with pyramids then.
What is it about the pyramids that impresses you?
This is still Egypt, right?
The pyramids haven't moved.
Yeah.
What a Futurama.
People did actually used to walk right in those big structures, didn't they?
They did. Do you know what they're built for?
Was it for, like, something to do with the gods?
Kind of. They were built as burial chambers for the old rulers of Egypt.
Well, I know that they've been, like, you know, still standing after all these years. They're, like, the tallest skyscrapers in the world, but now other buildings have taken their places.
They certainly were the most impressive structures in the world at the time, but none of these exist anymore apart from the pyramids at Giza.
It was, like, a million man-made job to do, and, like, everyone really worked hard into...
You sound like you're speaking at, like, the summary dinner. Look, boys, we've all worked really hard. Just give yourselves a pat on the back.
Well, it was
not the wonder of the world, Matt.
Because so, they made
that one out.
They made these pyramids like the cultural icons.
I mean, all of these are iconic in their own way, and they're all so impressive. So, to that end, the wonders of the world have since moved on. Of course, we've got the wonders of the current world, I guess, which are the Great Wall of China, Petra, Christ the Redeemer, Machu Picchu, Chichen Itza, the Colosseum, the Taj Mahal, and the Great Pyramids of Giza. So, all those things are super old, right? So what is a wonder of the modern world as it is now? What will people hopefully look back on in thousands of years' time and go, ugh, how impressive?
In terms of spectacle, I'd say the Burj Khalifa.
Tallest building in the world at the moment.
It is, and because it has got such an iconic design that doesn't look like it should work, but it does.
Dan?
Mine would be the International Space Station. That's proper sci-fi. That's a thing. People live on that, and they go in, year out. There's also America, Russia, Canada, Europe.
International, in fact.
Like, it's... But, like, in a way that, like, those countries aren't friends to each other. Yet, they have collaborated on that, and still do to this day. Russian and American people will be up there now, just kind of sharing dinner in space.
And doing space trips.
On Earth, like, those countries fucking hate each other at the minute.
And Adam, what do you make of Dan's choices of the Burj Khalifa and the International Space Station to be added to the new modern wonders of the world?
It definitely has a really good impact on it, because the space station, it's a totally different world, because you're going into space. Going into space is actually, it's different, because no one can hear your scream. It's because it's like...
That's why space is different, because no one can hear you scream. That's the only difference between here and space. No one can hear you scream.
Because it's amazing that they could construct a space rocket and could venture out into the darkness.
It's like a house in space.
Yeah.
So it's not like...
It's not like a rocket. It's and sort of seeing and orbiting Earth.
And are you going to ask me about my...
Yeah, I am. That is my next question. Yeah. Adam, what is the wonder of the world that you'd add to the...
World Trade Center.
Now... To clarify, I think Adam means the Freedom Tower that's been built upon the side.
I just prefer calling it the original title because
it's not.
Well, World Trade Center, though.
If you say to an American, "Wow, I love the original World Trade Center. How amazing!" They'll be like,
"Yeah, I agree. I would say the Freedom Tower because that does make sense.
That is what it's called. As well. Yeah.
Well, it just still kind of reminds me.
Why do you think the Freedom Tower is so meaningful?
Because the Americans, they went through such a tragic loss that day during the 9/11 attacks, but they built upon that and recovered their strength and they made it into a beautiful paradise again.
Wow, that was lovely.
That was lovely.
They carved every single name into the original place where the tower stood, and that's what made.
They did.
2,974 people.
And I just think it's amazing because New York is just so crowdedly built up.
I think I know what you're getting at.
I mean,
do you remember 9/11 happening, Adam?
I was only young.
How old were you in 2001?
Four.
You don't remember 9/11.
Yeah.
This is so interesting, actually.
Because I remember going to see the 2006 Oliver Stone film, World Trade Center.
I didn't see any of them, so I thought it was a bit too soon, to be honest.
Yeah.
Is that the one with Harvey Keitel?
No, with Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage in 9/11, wow, that's reverent.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about 9/11 is that, for us, it's like a thing that, like, happened, you know, like, in our life, whereas for you, it's like a historical event that, like, didn't quite happen in your life, even though, like, it did.
But, no, but it is true, though.
You won't remember it before as well.
Yeah,
because I actually went to New York, and I saw that the whole area was, like, still, like, a building site. And I actually saw millions of names still carved on the walls.
I mean, I wasn't going to know as millions of people died in 9/11.
Well,
the way they keep going on about it, you think it was millions. Anyway, but so to that end...
Because they were like the tallest skyscrapers like, in America at the time, weren't they? Until
they were.
It was suppressed by the Burj Khalifa. Because
Burj Khalifa didn't go, I need that. I'm putting it on my head now. So, okay, I wasn't going to answer this, but it's interesting. Where were you when 9/11 happened?
I remember I was exactly 10. I was sat in the classroom. And obviously you don't really understand fully what's happening there. The head teacher came in and said, oh, something's happened. There's been a thing in America. She said something about, like, we need to go home or we've all got to be careful or something. And I remember even at that age thinking... No, we don't. She just said America. Like, why do we have to?
And you would have been about 9 at the time?
I was exactly 10.
10, okay.
And getting home, I remember watching it on the news coming back, and you understand that something massive's happening, but you don't really get what.
I mean, I remember, I think, finishing school slightly early and going home, and I remember being pissed. Not because 9/11 happened, but because Card Captors wasn't going to be on today.
Jesus.
And I mean, that was 2001, and I think November, December that year, or maybe the following year, I went to the Caribbean by plane, obviously. And that was a very tense time. I mean, there's even that bit where Ricky Gervais is talking about in one of his stand-up shows that just after 9/11, he's getting on a plane and he sees a Muslim guy carrying a briefcase, and in his head he's thinking, oh no, but also probably not. And the Muslim guy's looking at him, and Ricky's thinking, like, of course he's not a terrorist, of course he's not, you know? And he isn't, as well.
Everyone believes that now, like, every time they see, like, they're just always called suspicious of them these days.
Why do you think that is?
Because that is the defining thing of...
Because it's since the 9/11 attacks, since those hijackers just hijacked those planes. They don't trust them because...
Do you think the media, perchance, has intentionally made people think that?
Yeah.
Thing is, 9/11 really is kind of the thing that defines our world now. That's the ADBC kind of cocoon thing. You know, would Donald Trump be president if 9/11 didn't happen? Probably not.
No chance.
Now the white man is scared of Muslims, and they need not be. Because every time there's an explosion, every time, it doesn't even have to be a terrorist attack, every time there's a van crashing into someone or a stabbing, whether it's in London or in Islamabad, you can be very sure that 95% of the world's Muslims are going, don't be Muslim, and not every time, but a lot of the times it is, and they don't want that either. Just important that we get that out there. Sorry, you were saying, Adam?
Yeah, the way I'm, like, comparing this, well, that was real-world consequences, like a big tower of steel falling down, comparing it to,
would
like,
you say the jet fuel can melt steel?
Can I just finish?
Sorry. Yep, I deserve that.
Yeah, falling down, crumbling down in a big pile now, and it's like comparing it, oh, your Lego playsets.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Damn it.
Usually you don't compare 9/11 to Lego.
No.
George Bush might have done at the time.
It's like, well, building up your own little big model city and then like, oh my god, well, there's no one on the ground because there is no one on the ground. Just like little Lego people. And
what's happening?
And then you pull out the bricks, and it just tumbles down right in front of them.
The ravings of a madman.
Would you say that 9/11 is more like Lego or Jenga? Because you said you pull out a brick, and that's more like Jenga than Lego.
With Jenga, it's just simple. You pull the
9/11 was simple. You just crash into a building, drop down.
Well, Tower of Jenga is just simple. You pull it out, but with Lego bricks, you have to like kick it because it's sharper.
I really don't know how to respond to this.
My
God. I don't know, it was just something I wanted to say, really. Like, I'm pretty sure when I was a kid, Jesus. I probably used to do that. Like, oh, huh? Yeah, I'm playing with my Lego.
9/11 with fucking Jenga.
As in, you saw 9/11 on TV and thought, I'd love to play that in Lego.
No, I don't remember, I was too young. I was probably playing with my Lego at the time, but then, oh my god, like smoke.
As in, you were playing with your Lego when 9/11 was happening, and it was like a foreshadowing thing.
I don't know.
Did you suddenly go, oh god, did I do this?
It could be. Like, every kid is watching on the TV, oh my god, did I just create, like, a terrorist attack? Oh my god.
But I don't think anyone thought that.
You heard it here first, folks. Adam did 9/11.
So you'd have been four, so I must have been, like, 11 going on 12 when it happened, so I definitely wasn't pulled out of school early.
It's like...
School definitely finished at 3 for us.
It's like... School. Oh, yeah, you copy it from the TV.
No,
you
didn't copy it from the TV.
I'm not asking you. I'm comparing it to, like, if I was a kid and playing with my Lego while it was on the TV, like, saying a Lego plane crashes into, like, your playset.
So are you saying you did, like, a voodoo 9/11?
I think I did, maybe many years ago.
So, Dan, you were saying...
Yes, I remember we definitely pulled out of school. I think my sister did, because she would have been in primary school. So I remember primary school shutting down. I remember coming home about 3 a.m. and sat at wherever I sat watching on TV, and I remember my dad making me sit down and watch the news. I was like, you probably should watch this, Dan, because like, the world is going to be different now.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Everyone, even when,
really did
when you were a kid, you were too young to understand it, but every single person was told, watch this.
Yeah. The 9/11 is kind of like the Kennedy assassination of his day. You know, it's just, ooh, yeah, this is history in the making.
Where were you when
security was very minimum back in those days?
That's something that really has gone now is common sense and also trust.
And context.
There's no, yeah. The lack of trust and the disunity defines this age as... I think can be directly linked back to 9/11.
Let's not go too deep into politics now.
More politics.
Religion is politics, 9/11 is politics, everything is politics. But with that in mind, now that that happened, 9/11, it is easy to play people with fear because all people who are like, oh, the bloody Muslims come here, you know they're thinking about 9/11. Even if they're not thinking about 9/11 consciously, you know they're thinking about 9/11 in their lower reptilian brain. But actually, the reason we got this 9/11 thing, because we were talking about the wonders of the world.
So we did, yeah.
And we didn't finish what mine was. So, yours is the Burj Khalifa, yours is the International Space...
You're too deeply into this, that's your fault.
No, this is a podcast, you must...
That's where the conversation went.
Don't resist going deeply into a subject.
Alright, Matt, alright.
Because that's what clever people do. They talk about stuff and they go into it. Right, so anyway, International Space Station, the Freedom Tower. It's got to be the internet, really. Like, that's how you're listening to this show now. It really is. I can't think of an invention that's better, really. It touches
everything, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is in everything. You can find out everything. You can find your echo chamber. You can look outside your echo chamber. You can. The kind of jobs that we like to do, be it acting or, you know, writing, made a ton easier by the fact that the internet exists. Anything we can do has been made better by virtue of the internet, and it has made the world a bigger place, I guess.
May I talk about my topic on this?
This is a segue. We covered some huge stuff, and now let's talk about the eighth wonder of the world, Adam Kane. Why is it you want to be an actor?
Well, I just think acting can mean a lot to me personally, because it's like you're playing your diehard, really.
What?
Right. Okay. Let's imagine this is inside the actor's studio, and we're all James Lipton apart from you.
I can tell you this: it's like an absence from the real world, and you're in your own imagination of like story set and character, and it's pure vision. We're in excitementness.
I don't know what you mean.
So we've spent a fair amount of time with you, and you have a great head for monologues and remembering lines and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you very clearly want to be an actor. You are a person who performs at every available opportunity, and that
it's called absolute art craft.
It's actually called Gesamtkunstwerk.
Okay, whatever.
There you go.
You know what language that was?
No.
Do you know what it means?
No.
It means total work.
Okay.
Any shift we do with you, any recording sesh we do with you, there's going to be a little element of performance, whether you're doing a voice or the element
of surprise.
No. Okay.
That was surprising. I'll give you that.
What were you for at then?
It's nice.
Great success.
My wife is dead.
I've never actually watched Borat or Bruno.
Did you know Borat's first name is Dave?
No.
Okay, well, it's not.
I've only just seen, like, his name is Borat, and Borat only from the trailers and from the posters.
Let's say Sacha Baron Cohen says, Adam, we need to do a remake of Borat, but I'm too old to do it now. Would you like to be Borat? Would you play...
Take up that great mantle.
I would need to educate myself about the character first before I'd have to consider playing it, because I need to understand its concept and its background.
In a handful of words, keep it real quick. Why do you want to be an actor? What is it about appearing on screen or on stage that appeals to you?
It's just all about like the sentences of dialogue that really always intrigue me, like even in comedy and drama. And it's like they come up with very humorous performances. I want to add something else. It's kind of like action with like combat and violence. It is like it's a legit professionalism, really. And it's like, oh, this is not real world. You're actually just playing a very violent villain. And you can actually do the fighting in it.
Okay, so what is it about playing...
You can do the fighting in it, or do you can do the fighting?
Yeah, it's legit, it's not criminal activity.
So basically it's just Westworld, isn't it? Everything's Westworld.
Not get arrested.
So what is it about not being Adam, about being a character that appeals to you?
It's like taking a break from your self-being in the real world. And if you play a character from what you've really enjoyed reading or playing in the past... And you really want that opportunity to do it from what you've read. Because I know that books came before theatre, didn't they?
Yes.
Well, it depends which book and
but
which
theatre. But I know theatre.
And things.
Yeah. Yes.
Why do you want to escape from the real world so desperately?
I'm not desperately to escape from the world. I'm just saying it in my description about being an actor.
Yeah, but the fact that you put it in your description shows that there is an element of truth to it.
Because it's like, oh, it's called life, really. Really pure banterness, and you really get on with like a lot of people who you play, you're acting with, really.
Dan, you look like you're bursting.
Yeah. It's just called really good social interaction when you're doing acting, really, and that's what you can continue for like many years.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, yeah.
No, but I know acting is different than social interaction of everyday conversation.
Right. Take for instance,
that's just what I think in my opinion.
I mean, the reason someone say like Dustin Hoffman or Marlon Brando, for instance, wanted to be an actor is because they weren't very good at school. So they wanted to do performance art because they could do that. And, you know, they like the idea of understanding how other people work, because characters, at the end of the day, are other people. You know, when Marlon Brando's playing Don Vito Corleone in The Godfather, he's looking to learn a bit about how would a gangster behave? One with pathos and hubris and all those good things.
What do you mean you'd want to... Wait, what did you say again?
I think I was going to say that, you know, escape from the real world, but you're going back into history. And I think that's very good, like, to try and visualise it again.
Is that because you're interested in the topics of the history, or you just want to pretend and be there?
It's like, you're interested in the topic of the history and how you really like that character, who it was, like, of their legacy.
What sort of films would you like to be in?
Comedy films? I don't really so much think of romance, but if I means I do have to learn that, then fair enough. I mean, I like action films. Probably could do with a thriller.
Yeah, I could do a thriller on your repertoire.
You just spoke a lot about wanting to learn about history, and then you said, I really want to do comedies. Do you understand why that sounds a bit...
Yeah.
What are the two things you said?
That's
really
not like what I really want to do. I'm just saying because that's what acting can be about.
I'm not... Let's not... we're not talking about acting generically. We're talking about acting in the case of Adam Caine.
Yeah. I'm just trying to say other descriptions about it, not just about myself, because it's not all
about... No, we're asking you just about
yourself. This is all about you.
Okay.
We, the Dans and I, are writing a thing, a Game of Thrones thing. Why are we doing that? What made us go, we need to be the ones to do this? Why did we not wait for someone else to...
Well, at the risk of sounding somewhat egotistical, we all know the stuff we come up with is good. And a lot of the stuff we see, whether it's Game of Thrones specifically or just content in general, is kind of vapid, it can be trashy, it can be rushed, and I think we want to give people what we feel they deserve.
So would you say that us writing this is kind of a response to our feelings about the show itself? So we went, this should be better. So rather than bitching about it, we did it. Or we're doing it now. So, do you see what we're saying with that, Adam?
Yeah, you're just trying to go deeply into story.
Sort of, but like I think the way I could relate right into acting, then, I guess, is the way when we pick a character, is we go, well, why would they do that? Why would they say this? What would be the point of them saying this? We kind of dive in and kind of live in that scene a little bit.
Sorry, Dan.
Which I presume is what actors want to do. I have no idea, because I don't know.
You see it in a different kind of way, really, because I don't really think the other... producers wanted to make a prequel because you three saw a different potential from Game of Thrones, didn't you? And that's why you wanted to write a prequel.
Yeah.
But what we're writing is a thing for us more than anything else. We like doing it.
Well, and how long for a series is it going to be then?
We don't know. The intent isn't that we necessarily make it, but do you think also with us there's a certain kind of self-awareness that we're good enough that it would be a shame to let these writing talents just go to waste, just to not do anything with it. Would you say that by not going into acting, you would be depriving the world of you and your talents?
Is that like freelancing?
What do you mean? Okay, what he's asking is, do you think you have a duty to act because people need to see what you've got to offer?
I don't think they need to. I would like them to see.
That's fine.
Well, everyone has their part to play, don't they? And I get engaged in a strong friendship with them as well.
So you want to connect with people through acting?
Yeah, just that. And
so you want to grow as a person through the medium of acting?
Yeah.
See, to be fair, a lot of the things you do, I can now understand from the perspective of you want a connection. So we talked about you doing social media and vlogging and stuff. That's to connect with people. You chose to do the Kevin Bacon thing. Now that's not a character per se. That's you looking at the camera, talking to people about you. And I guess, but your performances are basically all boiled down to the fact that you want to be known and understood and recognised.
Exactly, yeah. And pretty much when I was young, I used to play fight, from the movies as a kid, I can never watch Hot Fuzz when I was younger. Like, years ago, when I saw Hot Fuzz as a poster for the first time, it looked really cool, like police officers. Oh, I want to be a police officer when I grow up, and now I understand what it's all about. And it's about comedy, and that's why I really liked Hot Fuzz back then, because it was just, go, 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 yeah, police officer work, gunfights, car chases, proper action and shit.
We nearly got to something there, didn't we?
Because that's those kind of lines I really used to like. It was comedy, pure action and all that.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a sort of either-or question, and then we've got to wrap up the show. Do you want to be an actor because you want to experience more of the human condition, or because you want to say cool lines?
Can I say both?
I suppose.
Because it means you want to do a million things in acting, don't you?
And another thing, because acting can be, and then we've really got to wrap it up, acting can be a lifelong profession. So right now you see yourself doing comedies, you see yourself doing action roles. But what about when you're older, when you're a more seasoned actor, and you can't do action roles anymore? What sort of acting would you want to go into then? Though maybe actors are never really asked this.
Probably just casual drama. Just something that's really relaxed and not so dangerous.
Like a soap opera?
Could be.
Do you want to be a TV actor, a stage actor, or a film actor?
Well, film actor. But if it means I'm asked to do a TV role, then fair enough.
What about stage?
Doing stage soon, so it depends what I've experienced, really. Whether I like it or not.
Okay, well, today we've discussed the Seven Wonders of the World, 9/11. Is it like Lego? Let us know in the comments below. And why Adam wants to be an actor. Which I
hope it made sense to everyone, and I hope you can all see me in the next decade or so on screen, or maybe less than that.
We hope so.
Right, so that's been Care Explains Episode 8. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another rollicking installment. No, bye-bye.
See you next time.